Hello and welcome back to the Church of Jesus Christ study session with Come Follow Me. I'm your host Matthew Roberts and this is Season 5, Episode 115 of this daily study podcast. Thank you so much for joining us once again today as we continue with our study of this week's Come Follow Me materials in June the 12th to June the 18th, covering the week where we study Luke 22 and John chapter 18. Now we're going to move on to another section today. I mean, we talked about yesterday the conversion being an ongoing process, and we talked about Peter and his kind of change and the way he denied the Saviour. And we spoke about the three things that the three reasons why we might deny the Saviour in our lives, looking at the three individuals that spoke to Peter as well. I want to move on actually now to the next part of our study this week, and that is about the Saviour suffering for us in Gethsemane. Now, this is obviously a huge event. It is probably the biggest event in the history of mankind in terms of the impact it will have on all the lives of all mankind going forward. And it is, you know, the ultimate mission that the Saviour had come into the earth, which made us come into the earth even work, basically. Without the Saviour's atonement and resurrection as a result of that atonement, coming to earth, the plan would fail, even just for the fact that we wouldn't be able to overcome death, but also the opportunity to overcome sin because of the Saviour's atoning sacrifice is also a significant part of this plan. Otherwise we would all be cast out from the presence of God no matter what we did. And this is where I think that this idea of grace and works, by the way, is misunderstood by people who look at, particularly evangelical believers of Christ, who look at what we believe and also what we see evangelical people believe as well. I think that it's sometimes painted too black and white in terms of, oh, they think grace and we think only grace, and we think only works. I think it's the case that that's not true in both counts. And in reality, we firmly believe in grace. We believe that without the Saviour's grace and mercy, that none of us would ever come close to returning to our Heavenly Father. It's just not for discussion. That is a huge part, and it is the main part, if not the part which is most important, that the Saviour's grace and mercy is available to us. Now, the Come Follow Me manual suggests reading Luke 22:39-46. That's, you know, well, eight verses to cover the atonement. Now, we are going to cover those eight verses today, but then for the rest of the week until kind of towards the end, so we can cover the last bit that is suggested, we are going to stick around the atonement topic. And there are other verses from other kind of areas to consider as well when we think about the suffering in the garden. And of course, when we talk about the atonement today, or this week, we're looking at specifically the suffering in the garden. So we're going to start with those specific verses, but then there is the analogy of the actual olive press, which we'll refer to, and also the other verses in the Gospels, and if there's time, other scriptures in the standard works that talk about the atonement as well. So that's kind of how we're going to approach it. So we know in verse 39 that it says, "And he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him." So it sounds like that the Mount of Olives is a regular place that the Saviour goes to perhaps reflect, to ponder. Perhaps he knew that that is where he was going to ultimately perform this great act as well. We're not 100% sure why. This was a particular place that he was wanted to go or accustomed to go, but he was there. And then in verse 41 it says, "And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed." So he leaves the disciples. In some accounts we read that Peter, James and John went further with the Saviour, and then he left them as well. And he then starts to pray. Notice that he starts praying to begin this act. It's an important indication to us really about how important prayer is and how we can access the atonement through prayer. I think that sometimes we overcomplicate things and think we have to jump through all sorts of hoops, but really, ultimately, we just need to connect with our Heavenly Father to begin that process. Perhaps there are things that need to be done along the way, but just saying a prayer can just begin that process. President James E. Faust said this, quote, "Many prayers are spoken while we are on our knees. The Saviour knelt as he prayed to the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane, but silent prayers of the heart also reach to heaven. We sing, prayer is the soul's sincere desire, uttered or unexpressed. Sincere prayers come from the heart. Indeed, sincerity requires that we draw from the earnest feelings of our hearts when we pray, rather than using vain repetitions or pretentious affections, such as those condemned by the Saviour in the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. Our prayers then truly become the song of the heart and a prayer, not only reaching God, but touching the hearts of others as well." Close quote. The power and the reach and the scope of prayer is indeed a powerful thing. And it begins, as I say, this atoning sacrifice that was to begin in the garden and to end with his death on the cross. But before it began, he said in verse 42, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Now, we know that the Saviour he was wishing. He was asking if there was any other way. He started to feel to comprehend the great weight of this sacrifice, and he knew that it was going to be incredibly huge, incalculable for our mortal minds, and a weight. We were watching the Line Upon Line Come Follow Me videos, we watch them once a week as a family, just to kind of introduce the Come Follow Me events to us, and then we kind of dive into the scriptures through the week as a family to look into them in more depth. But we watched the video yesterday about this week's study, and they explained it really well about it being like a great black hole, just incalculable in pressure, immeasurable in scope, and just something which sucks everything away that we can possibly comprehend. And yet the Saviour faced it, and he took it on, and he did it. Elder Neil A. Maxwell noted the Saviour's willingness to submit to the Father's will, though. He said, quote, "By sharing as best we can in the sufferings and sicknesses of others, we too can develop our empathy, that everlasting and vital virtue. We can also further develop our submissiveness to God's will, so that amid our lesser but generally vexing moments, we too can say, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. When heartfelt, this expression of obedience constitutes real petition followed by real submission. It is much more than polite deference. Rather, it is a deep yielding in which one's momentary uncertainty gives way to the certainty of Father's rescuing love, mercy, attributes which drench his plan of salvation." Close quote. The willingness to submit despite the petition to not engage with, I think, is a really powerful witness to us about how we ought to submit, no matter what the difficulty may be. And I think that it can be such a challenge. It really, really can. It's far easier said than done. But it indicates to us the importance of being willing to submit and to engage fully with the Saviour's atonement in whatever way we need to. Thank you so much for listening. We've done 3 verses there, so we'll see how we get on through the rest of the week, and we'll just cover what we can about the atonement. It's such a vast thing, but so many things to discuss and have an in-depth discussion about as well. So thank you very much for listening. Thank you for your time, and share the podcast, and until we meet again.